It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Of two middle-aged dudes and a microphone. I'm Craig.
And this is Aaron.
And we are on location today.
That's correct.
What that means is we got kicked out of our studio.
We did. We actually went to the studio to record.
And the Leeberry Complex was packed.
Yep.
And the reason, because we overbooked. We overbooked the studio.
Yep.
And it's our fault because we didn't cross our T's and dot our I's, and our own studio was overbooked and we couldn't use it. So now we're at the satellite studio right down the street.
Yep.
And we're just making lemonade out of lemons.
And I'm pretty fond of this studio anyway, to be honest with you.
Me too. I'm here a lot.
You really are.
I'm here a whole lot. But Listen, let's get straight to the first story. How about it?
Go for it.
Woman says intruder found shaving his head in her bathroom. Wanted a hug.
Oh, he didn't have to break into a house for that.
Apparently so. This happens in Oregon. You know, everything crazy happens in Oregon.
Oregon's far out.
Actually, not everything crazy happens there, but I wanted to make them feel kind of special.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They are special.
A Kaiser woman, Kaiser being a place in Oregon, told KATU she and her husband walked in on a burglar shaving his head in their bathroom.
How bizarre.
Pat Koskela, I'm probably butchering that, 64, said the encounter only got stranger from there.
How does it get stranger than that?
Well, first of all, it was a guy that was in her bathroom, and his name was Erica.
Okay, well, that's
pretty strange on its own. She said the suspect, Erica Avila, 39, did not make any threats as he held one of her husband's disposable razors in his hand, and that he was actually quite talkative and even affectionate.
How do you like me without hair? Can I get a hug?
Can I get a hug, please? But she said she had to ask him to leave repeatedly. She was home alone around 5:45 Tuesday at her house. And this is when this all took down. She said, I was in the bedroom in there working on the computer, and my husband was at the store.
What was wrong with her computer, I wonder?
She was working on it, whatever the problem might have been.
Maybe a bad drive.
It could have been, you know.
Something.
Something, bad memory, something. Yeah. Yeah, like you. She said she heard her two dogs barking loudly.
Oh, my dogs are barking.
This is in comparison to when they bark softly.
They're using their outdoor bark. Yeah.
She said that she heard her two dogs barking loudly and thought they were just yapping at her husband, John. Oh, that's John.
They're just yapping.
That's John. They're yapping at John. After a few minutes, she looked up and saw her husband outside the bedroom door, which was right next to the bathroom. She's like, wait, you're supposed to be in the...
Scary time.
Yeah, kind of weird.
Yep.
I said, have you been home for about 5 minutes? He goes, no. And then looks at me, she said. He has this really funny face and goes, who's your friend?
Y'all got something in common.
What's that?
Funny faces. Oh,
stop it.
Okay.
Oh, killing my rib smalls. He has this... Can we just go over what they said to each other again?
Because
this is good. We're going to keep all this, but I want to go back over what they said again.
Sure, go ahead.
I said, this is her talking.
Yep.
Have you been home for about 5 minutes?
Oh, I'll do him.
I said, have you been home for about 5 minutes? He goes,
no.
And then he looks at me. He has this really funny face and he goes,
who's your friend?
And I go, what? So that's when we realized somebody was here.
Uh-oh.
Police identified that somebody as Avila, a man with 8 mugshots on file at the Marion County Jail.
That's a full set of mugshots.
Why do they know that he's got 8? I guess because he's a repeat offender.
Yeah.
But do they usually keep track of how many each person has?
Recidiveness.
That's a big word for you.
Repeat offender.
Koskela said Avila was shaving his head without shaving cream.
Ouch.
He's hardcore.
Yeah.
And then quickly realized he was a stranger. He was rambling on about...
Wait a minute.
It took that before she realized she didn't know who the guy was.
All right. Next headline, Craig. Cop sued after apologizing to woman with a "sorry I tased you" cake. A former Florida sheriff's deputy is being sued for allegedly tasing a woman without provocation while off duty and lying about the incident in an effort to cover up, despite having baked the woman a cake with a message "sorry I tased you" written on it.
He was remorseful.
She obviously wasn't hungry. I guess there's just no pleasing some people. Escambia County resident Stephanie Byring claims that Michael Wallers entered the apartment complex where she works on June of 2015 after one of his patrol shifts ended and began to intimidate, harass, and threaten her about her personal life. Byron's suit alleges that at one point, Wallers took her sweet tea and refused to give it back.
I cannot have your sweet tea.
I'm taking this. When Byron approached Wallers in an attempt to retrieve the beverage,
give me back my beverage.
He discharged his stun gun into her chest and throat. Yikes.
Oh, ow.
That sounds so painful.
Don't tase me, bro.
While she was on the ground, Waller jumped onto Miss Byron, kneeing her in the chest, and forcefully removing the taser prods, just yanking those suckers right out. Waller resigned from the department while under investigation for misconduct and purportedly lied to a training officer about the incident, filing a false report and claiming his weapon discharged while the two were engaged in horseplay.
Dude, we were just joking around, man.
I wonder if he even knew her.
Dude, we were just joking.
I need some more with this story. Nevertheless, Waller apparently felt bad enough about the incident to apologize to Byron with the aforementioned "sorry I tased you" cake, complete with the rendition of the incident drawn in the frosting.
Oh, the picture's amazing. You got to post the picture. "Sorry I tased you" with little stick figures and the tasers. I know the taser's coming out.
He must not be the best baker, though, because Byron is still suing him for excessive force, violating her civil rights, committing battery against her, and causing her hardship, including physical injuries, monetary loss, medical expenses, humiliation, and mental anguish.
It'd only been better if the cake was made with nuts or something.
Oh, yeah.
And she was allergic. That picture, man. That picture's like...
What about this cop? I wonder how... I would like to know if they knew each other beforehand, because she said he just came to where she worked and started harassing her her personal life.
I just love this cake, and he's actually scrolled.
Look, is he frowning? He's like...
He's actually kind of scribbled.
Sorry I tased you.
Scrolly scribbly scribed.
All right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Man survives 2 bear attacks in same morning.
Good grief.
Montana man Todd Orr played dead to survive.
They say that's what you do with a bear attack.
Yeah, those guys will crack your skull like a walnut.
Yeah, they will. Squeeze it one fist.
Right. After being jumped on and bitten repeatedly by a charging grizzly bear in Montana on Saturday morning, Todd Orr survived by playing dead. The injured, bleeding man began a 3-mile trek back to his vehicle and was attacked again within 10 minutes by the same bear. The 50-year-old, he's a middle-aged dude.
Yeah.
played dead again to survive the second attack, then drove 17 miles to a hospital.
I think what we have here is a bear that can't learn, because...
You think the first time is a guy, oh no, he's dead again.
Fool me once.
Yeah, shame on...
Don't get fooled again.
Thanks, Mr. Bush. She got my head good.
She got my head good.
I don't know what's under my hat.
Probably hair.
Life sucks in bear country, Orr says in a Facebook video recorded before the drive. She got my head good. I don't know what's under my hat. And then my shoulder, she ripped up. I think my arms broke.
So there's a video out there of
him. But legs are good. Internal organs are good. Eyes are good.
Good eyes. I'm going to find that.
And there's a video out there.
I'm going to find it.
In a later post on Facebook recounting the attack, Orr says he was scouting for elk and hollering, "Hey, bear."
That's what Lori does when we hike.
Hey, bear.
Yeah.
I'll try to scare him off.
Yeah.
What if you hear something go, "Yeah." That's going to freak you out.
Well, you got to pick a nickel basket.
Yeah, hey, boo-boo. Hollering, "Hey, bear," every 30 seconds to avoid surprising any bears. Surprise! When he was first charged by the bear who had 2 cubs. There you go, right there.
Bingo.
2 cubs. I'll have to clean out the truck a little better. Is that because of before or after? My girlfriend says it looks like I gutted an elk in the driver's seat. He writes, Madison County Sheriff Roger Thompson says, or who used bear spray during the first attack.
Where Wigglesworth. Was
Wigglesworth? Did everything he was supposed to do, and while being attacked by the same bear twice is like being struck by lightning twice, or is lucky to have survived at all. I think he should go out and buy a lottery ticket now, the sheriff says. So now suddenly the sheriff is a lottery expert.
What are you, his accountant?
Who is he, Wigglesworth?
That's amazing. Twice in one day.
Yeah, and you know what? I've heard some stories, you know, about the bear attack things, especially the grizzlies. I mean, they pick your head up, like, in their mouth.
Yeah. I saw The Revenant. All right, Craig, you ever been attacked by a crocodile?
Yes.
Have you really? How'd you scare it away?
I used my flip-flop.
No way! Because That's what this woman did in Australia, mate.
Oh.
Yeah.
For Australian friends.
All right. Like this woman, she scares off a crocodile with a flip-flop in Australia, right?
We don't have Australian friends anymore. I told you not to do the voice.
I'm going to try to do the whole story in Australian accent.
Okay. I like to kind of do a little disclaimer at the beginning?
Yeah, go ahead.
Attention, Australian friends. Aaron is about to attempt to do an Australian accent. We both know,
crikey,
me and you, that he can't do an Australian accent.
Yeah, quite right.
But let's humor him in his natural habitat. Go,
okay.
Aaron.
Okay, woman scares off a crocodile with a flip-flop in Australia, right? A woman was scared away.
I've never heard anyone in Australia say, right?
I just did. You didn't hear me?
Crikey, would you just finish?
A woman has scared away a saltwater crocodile while swimming towards her and her dog by slapping it with her flip-flop. Crocodile enthusiast London Eisenerk, who filmed the incident, said, I don't think she realized how dangerous this kind of behavior really is. I thought there were at least 120 crocodiles in this stretch of the East Alligator River in Kakuta National Park.
And then Kakadu?
What did I say?
Kakuta?
Yeah, that's because I live there, right?
Okay. what the locals call it.
That's right. The last fatal attack there was in 1987.
I just hope that in Australia, flip-flop's not a euphemism for anything else.
Out I do, mate.
I just hope flip-flop doesn't mean something other than we think flip-flop means.
Yeah, all right.
You just keep moving. Move along.
Okay, next story.
Death of inmate's pet hamster sparked $15,430 prison riot.
That's one expensive rodent.
What I like about this headline
is
they didn't feel the need to round up or round down.
Hey, well, they did too, if you'll read the first sentence.
The death of an inmate's pet hamster sparked a prison riot, which caused more than $15,430.20 damage. Could they not have just said...
Wait, how much more? If they're going to say more than, why don't they just... It's
like, technically, it's more than... Four prisoners took part in the quote-unquote protest, trashing their landing, smashing furniture, and light fittings inside HMP Stucken. What's HMP Stucken?
I don't know.
All the men said they had grievances, but Kyle Blackie, oh no, not old Blackie, claimed he was distressed over the death of his rodent. Guys, that was Blackie's hamster.
He's going to raise Cain.
That's Blackie's hamster. The drama went on for 4 hours before specially trained hamster officers, I made that part up, were sent in to restore order.
Order! We'll have order in here.
The court was told the four men climbed onto the suicide netting between two floors at the jail near Oakham, Rutland. Two of the inmates, Craig Mercer, 26, and Shane Green, 25, remained there for 4 hours before they were finally brought down. They were angry after having their cells searched when they claimed treasured photographs were damaged. Blackie, 23, was upset about his pet hamster passing away.
23-year-old. Blackie. This poor hamster.
Blackie's okay. It's okay. Gordon Aspin, prosecuting, said the trio and another man, Anthony Bailey, 32, climbed onto the netting shortly before 6 p.m. on April 14th last year. He said they took mattresses, chairs, food, tobacco, and bizarrely a Monopoly game.
Well, they had to do something while they were on the suicide netting.
I guess so, which showed they were planning to spend some time up there.
Yeah.
How to keep the money from blowing away when they're playing?
How is this guy not a detective?
And why is it that they have Monopoly available to these guys?
And hamsters.
And hamsters. He added, that's a good idea. When the hamster was dead, they could use him as a Monopoly piece. He added, Bailey said he wanted out. and Blackie was distressed about losing his pet hamster a few days earlier. It was not said if Blackie's hamster was being kept in the prison or was with his family.
Was it a criminal hamster?
I don't know.
Maybe that was...
He had a little tight... He had a wee little jumps, a little, little black and white
ball,
striped.
A little ball and chain.
A little ball, wee little ball and chain, a wee little striped outfit. Prisoners are allowed to keep pets as part of a privilege and incentive scheme if it has been agreed with jail bosses. The governor and senior staff spoke to the men, but they remained defiant and arrogant. Mr. Asbd said Green began banging a broom handle on metal railings and broke up a chair so the others had a chair leg to also bang on the railings.
Here, y'all take some of this.
They didn't have a chair leg to stand on. Prison guards put the wing in lockdown.
Lock her down.
At 6:30 p.m., as fears of the riot escalated, HMP Stockton is a Category C prison, which houses a total of 800 prisoners in six wings.
So the death of this guy's pet hamster, they're saying, claimed caused 15,000 plus.
I'd like to think that maybe the hamster was the mastermind.
Oh, it may have been. He said, if anything happens to me, you guys cause a riot. That's what the hamster said.
And the hamster's running the show.
It sounded something like, if anything happens to me, if you guys ever
just listen to me, I'll mess you up.
Why does he sound like the snake with the hat?
They're related.
They're related.
This next story, Craig, is a local story.
Nice.
But I think it'll be of interest to our international listeners as well.
How could it not be?
This comes from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, just down the road a bit. McDonald's manager assaulted with burger.
I feel assaulted every time I eat their food.
A disgruntled customer threw a hamburger at a McDonald's manager, striking her in the head Sunday evening. According to Murfreesboro police reports provided to the Daily News Journal, Officer Benjamin Lieback was dispatched to the restaurant on South Rutherford at 5:37 p.m., where he made contact with the manager, Brandy Bradford.
No, the hamburger had already made contact with the manager.
Miss Bradford said that a customer came into the restaurant and was upset about his order being wrong. The suspect dumped his entire bag of food on the counter, at which point Miss Bradford came up front. Witnesses told the officers the customer continued to cuss employees and then picked up a burger from the counter and threw it at Miss Bradford, striking her in the head. The suspect is described as a white male wearing a gray black shirt, green shorts, and green blonde hair, fled the scene in a gray Jeep. He shouldn't be too hard to track down.
I wouldn't think so. Oh, they probably should bust in on that family down the street. We think they're harboring a fugitive.
Headline.
It's a little sweet symphony.
Little sweet symphony, album for cats released.
You're kidding me.
Meow. A musician is creating an album of music for feline listeners, even though he's allergic to them.
He's a nice guy.
David Tay, a scientist and cellist in the U.S. National Symphony Orchestra, raised hundreds of thousands of dollars through crowdfunding and sold 10,000 copies of his record independently.
Nice.
That's ridiculous.
That's nice, though. I don't hate the guy for, you know, finding a new market. Somebody thought Baby Einstein was stupid. Well, actually, I still think Baby Einstein's stupid. Go ahead.
He was then offered a deal with Universal Music, and his album, Music for Cats, is set for release late October. Mr. Tay said that the music was created based...
You called him Mr. Tay a minute ago.
Mr. Tay said that the music was created...
Mr. Tay sounds like it. Wait a minute. Mr. Tay's a cat.
You've solved it, Peerless.
Peerless, get in here with Wrigglesworth. We've solved it. Mr. Tay is a cat.
Mr. Tay said that the music was created based on his scientific theory that cats appreciate music through the sounds they hear as kittens, such as their mother's purr or birds chirping. He told the Press Association, not all cats will respond. One will go right over to the speaker and one will just walk out of the room.
Also known as normal behavior.
Those are cat music snobs. I like the idea that critical taste applies to cats too.
This guy's insane.
That's what I said. But I've seen videos where cats nuzzle up to the speaker and even curl completely around it. Very excitable cats are completely calmed, and formerly abused or feral cats tend to respond best. The music is played at shelters where Mr. Tay says it can cut down the time it takes for a feral cat to interact with humans. It is communication in the cat's language.
Meow, 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 meow.
Of acceptance and understanding and the comfort that goes along with that. That's not bad. He added that while reptiles don't have the brain structures for it, au contraire.
Is this guy making up his own science?
He must be. All mammals are ripe for music. A spokesman for Universal Music said that they were thrilled to be a part of this world first project and break into the massive untapped market for non-human music fans. The possibilities are endless for more species-specific music for albums. Dogs and horses could all be on the cards.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until the cats get a copy of Capster and they start downloading the music for free, and then we'll see how Universal feels about it.
You think the album is called The Stray Cat Strut?
No. Was that music from your day? I don't remember. I wasn't born yet.
Oh, okay. Now this next one is weird.
Okay. Isn't that basically what
I guess all of us
are. Do we have any normal stories?
We don't. We don't have normal stories.
So a prisoner managed to swallow a mobile phone whole.
Now, I'm hoping this was a flip phone because I can actually see a flip phone going down. What if it was an iPhone 6 Plus?
He should be in the carnival. Oh, then he could get all the State Fair food that he wanted. Yeah.
He can swallow anything he wanted.
It can be tricky enough to swallow an aspirin. Not really. But one prisoner managed to gulp down an entire mobile phone. The 29-year-old had to have surgery after he began vomiting and symptoms carried on for several hours.
Sure.
And plus, his stomach kept making beeping and
vibrant. What if it was one of those new phones that keep blowing up in people's pockets?
That would be bad.
Wow. Talking about acid influx.
When he admitted...
Reflux.
He had an... What?
I'm calling from the inside of your stomach.
When he...
if you couldn't mind, I'm in your stomach right now. Please. I just... No.
Hello?
Doctors tried to fish out the phone using grippers attached to a camera. Grippers. I see that. Grippers. I don't think that's a really technical term either.
You see that attached to a camera? There were pictures of this online, and it almost made me throw up continuously.
Then you've got too weak of a stomach.
It was nasty.
Doctors tried to fish out the phone using grippers attached to a camera, but the light... okay, this story just... I ain't doing it.
Why not?
I don't know. This story...
Exactly how or why he swallowed the phone is unclear, but he had mental issues, according to the report.
Because he swallowed a phone.
What's that medics perform there? A laparotomy. Medics performed a laparotomy.
They cut through his gut to get...
Which is when they make a cut... You know, I've seen on TV where a guy had contraband. It was a cell phone, and he was talking to his wife every night from his cell. He got in big trouble. So maybe this guy
was hiding it somewhere
else. Maybe
he
was addicted to phone games.
Yeah, he was hiding it somewhere else.
Yeah. Whoa.
Under his bed. What were you thinking? Oh, are we doing the next one?
Yeah, take the next one.
Girl thinks... let's take this one way down.
Okay, go down, Maj.
Girl thinks her potato chips are covered in pepper.
Yum.
But it's actually dead ants.
Ooh.
Dead ant.
Dead ant.
High schooler Emily Wagoner was at a pita pit. That didn't sound good. In Beaverton, Oregon.
No wonder the ants were dead.
Yeah. Enjoying some Miss Vicky's sea salt and vinegar chips.
Oh, those are good.
Those are Miss Vicky's are good.
Yeah, they are.
I've not had the ones with the ants on them. I'm going to try those out. And she realized the pepper in the chips was actually dead ants. Dead ants! That's how it's written.
It is, all caps.
After complaining because, dead ants! Wagoner said the store manager offered her a new bag of chips. Wagoner told Cosmopolitan.com she was not happy with that apology and left the pita pit, planning never to eat there again.
Well, there you go. Case
closed.
She
also tweeted out a photo of the ant-covered chips, and it went viral. After seeing the tweet, the pita pit Twitter account sent her a direct message apologizing for the incident and offered her a $50 gift card. Wagoner didn't think that was sufficient compensation. What does the world owe her something?
What does she want? I mean, she had chips with ants on them.
She hadn't even been refunded for her original purchase and pushed back. Wagoner told Cosmopolitan.com that for Pita Pit to fix this, she wants proof that they're taking action with Miss Vicky's because a $50 gift card just seems insulting.
Really?
She's still waiting for their reply. Shouldn't she be taking this up with Miss Vicky?
Well, the meal probably cost her $5. She made 100% profit.
Okay, if I go to McDonald's and I have ants on my Big Mac, I can blame McDonald's.
Right.
If I go to Subway and get a bag of Miss Vicky's chips, which they have, and I open them up, it's...
Yeah, I think so.
If I go to Kroger and get a bag of chips and there's ants on them, that's not their fault.
No, it's not.
What is the suddenly the world owes her something?
Everybody is entitled, Craig. Everybody's that's entitled. That's the world we live in.
You take that back.
So that's the world you live in.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Officers raid Colorado home for drugs. Find innocent family. Authorities in West Colorado apologized to a family with several young children after officers smashed their way into a home, mistakenly thinking a large stash of drugs was inside. Oops. Grand Junction police received a tip Wednesday that methamphetamine was inside a home in the neighboring town of Clifton. The informant provided an exact address and specific details about where the officers could find the drugs. Armed with a search warrant, sheriff's deputies and police officers knocked on the front door, but no one answered. They plowed through the door and broke multiple windows to get into the home.
Dang.
Only to find the innocent family, two adults and five children between the ages of 3 and 12.
Well, why
there.
Didn't they answer the door?
They might have been watching Barney. I don't know. Wait. Is there a law now that I have to open my door when somebody rings the doorbell?
They were listening to music for cats.
They might have been. I wouldn't mess with them. We got some pretty detailed information from this informant, police spokeswoman Heidi Davidson said. The name we were given was associated with the address. It just wasn't current.
Uh-huh.
Really? No, really.
Yeah.
You know who you could have checked with first?
The owners?
The post office.
Oh, even better.
Investigators were trying to determine what went wrong and whether the informant was credible. Obviously not.
Mm-mm.
The police department and the Mesa County Sheriff's Office plan to pay to replace the window. You think? Pay
yeah.
to replace.
Tay, get in here.
Get in here, Tay. Play some that groovy cat music.
Bring Peerless and Wrigglesworth with you.
Poor Wrigglesworth and Peerless just cannot catch a break. We got to just drop those guys. Investigators were trying to determine what went wrong and whether the informant was credible, Davidson said. The police departments and the Mesa County Sheriff's Office planned to pay to replace the windows and fix the door.
So.
They also were arranging for new carpet to be installed where all the family members had soiled it. No, I made that part up.
And paint the walls while you're at it.
Yeah. They were to be installed because of the concerns about tiny pieces of glass from the broken windows. We are so grateful that no one was hurt, and we want to publicly apologize to the family and acknowledge what a frightening and disconcerting experience this must have been for them, the agency said in a joint statement. Is this another example of an, and again, we're not down on police officers.
No,
but
I
is
love
this,
them.
These stories, though, is this just what is up with these guys?
There was a lack of police work on that one, as well as the one from earlier.
Peerless wouldn't let that happen.
Neither would Riddles work.
You're going to get a bunch of friends together.
Okay, and I love a party.
Okay, you have a party. You can get together, and you probably have some food, stuff like that, and you have some competitions or whatever. What a better way to do it? You know I'm going with this. But there's a big festival that goes on in Russia. You know, tell us about it. What's it?
Oh, okay. It's the Russian Mosquito Festival. And at this festival, the more bites you get, the better. So at last weekend's Russian Mosquito Festival in the town of Berzniki.
Another letter on the way.
Berzniki. 9-year-old Erna Ilokina won the tastiest girl category with 53 bites to show for going berry picking in the forest with her mother. She was awarded a ceramic cup in recognition of the welts all over her legs.
Okay, wait. So, get this right. Okay. You subject yourself to being bitten by hundreds of thousands of mosquitoes that could have the Zika virus.
Right.
And they give you...
A cup.
A ceramic cup. It doesn't sound like it's a trophy. It sounds like they gave you
it's not
ceramic
like a brass cup,
something you put on a shelf.
It's not like the Stanley Cup.
I guess you...
Unusually hot and dry weather in the Ural Mountains town, however, has greatly depleted the number of mosquitoes this year. Festival organizers had to cancel the traditional mosquito hunt, where participants try to collect as many of the insects as possible in jars. The heat also had Yana Solorowski.
I think we're having a new rule. You're not allowed to try to pronounce names anymore.
I can't talk.
I can't put names out there. Here's the thing.
They were
talking about going out and gathering mosquitoes. Okay,
right.
We're from the South. They gather you.
jars.
We don't actually go. They come. What kind of mosquitoes are over there?
The heat also had Yana Solorowska sweltering in her mosquito costume as she led some of the dancing at the festival. What's going on over there?
I was imagining the dancing having to do with scratching.
That's
the scratch moves.
That's just the dancing mosquitoes.
She wasn't dancing. No, she wasn't
dancing.
Like she was
cut-rate circus.
We've got dancing mosquitoes.
Wow.
That's a pretty good show.
We've covered some good shows, some good stories.
I think it's a pretty good show. And before we go this week, I would like to say congratulations to our good friend, Kerry Walker.
Kerry Walker.
Kerry Walker was the first one to decipher our hidden message in the found news footage. And
from the Podcast Day show.
And he will be getting himself a...
Toddler-sized.
No, okay, stop that.
Love you, Kerry.
He'll be getting a two middle-aged dudes and a microphone t-shirt.
Yes.
And also...
A trip to New Zealand?
No. We had a second listener guest.
I saw that. Are you going to throw one?
Yep. I'm going to give him a t-shirt as well.
Did you tell him?
I haven't told him that yet, but he will be listening. So, Keith Hendricks, congratulations. You guys are sharp, by the way. Secret codes. That was not the easiest contest, and we were starting to get concerned after a couple of days, and nobody had guessed.
We just figured nobody liked us.
But you guys nailed it, and congratulations.
It was really nice, too, that two out of our three listeners actually won something. Okay, well, until next time.
Okay, guys, take care and make sure that you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you on the weekend show.
Bye.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.